content. I'm not gonna let the devil's devices drag me into something that I know I shouldn't be. But I'm here to tell you, until it comes, I will bless the Lord. And while I'm blessing him, he's working it out. Why don't you tell three people, while you're blessing God, he's working it out. He's working that raise out. He's giving you something that you've been waiting on. While you're praising him, God's giving it to you. God's working behind the scenes. Yes, he is.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Declare it. Let's thank God for our children. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As we stand all over this place, prepare our hearts to receive a word from the Lord. I want to call your attention to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17. We will commence reading at verse 11. Father God, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we ask, God, that you will touch our hearts and our minds, God, that we might receive what the Spirit has for us on today. We thank you, and we give you praise. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And verse 19, And he said unto him, Arise. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to just raise a question this morning right from the text. Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Thank you, ushers. My brothers and sisters, as we gather in this sacred space, I want to invite you to pause for a moment and consider the season that is fast approaching. It's that time of year when the leaves change colors, the air grows crisp, and the world seems to be rushing headlong from Halloween's costumes to Christmas's carols. Thanksgiving, that precious holiday, is often sandwiched in between, overlooked, overshadowed, and sometimes even forgotten. But I came to remind you today that Thanksgiving is not just a date on the calendar. Thanksgiving is a posture of the heart. It really is a spiritual discipline. It is a way of living that acknowledges the goodness of God in every circumstance. And my brothers and sisters, if we're not careful, we will let the world's distractions rob us of the opportunity to pause, to reflect, and give God thanks. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever felt overlooked? Have you ever felt like your good deeds were drowned out by the noise of life? Have you ever wondered if anyone noticed your work, your effort, your sacrifice? Well, I've stopped by to tell you that you're not by yourself this morning. Because here in Luke chapter 17, Jesus himself asked a question that echoes through the ages. Were not all 10 cleansed? Then where are the other 9? Today I want to walk with you through this powerful passage. I want us to see ourselves in the story. I want us to rediscover the power of gratitude, the necessity of worship, and the blessing of returning long enough to say thank you. Thank you to the one who has done great things for us. The text opens with Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, traveling along, now don't miss this, he's traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Please don't miss the details, because borders are places of transition. Borders are places of tension. They are places where cultures collide and people are often marginalized. And it is here at the border that Jesus encounters 10 men who are living on the margins. 10 men who have been pushed out, they have been cast aside, and in reality, they have been labeled unclean. Leprosy, for those of you who are students of history, you will note that in biblical times, leprosy was much more than just a disease. It was a sentence. It was a condition that affected your body, your spirit, and even your relationships. These men were suffering physically, their bodies ravaged by disease. They were suffering spiritually because they were cut off from even worship. They were told that their condition was a curse, and they were suffering socially because they were separated from their family, from their friends, and even from their community. Can you imagine the pain of being told you don't belong? Well, we as a people are, amen, we ought to know something about that. We know something about being cut off and told that we were less than. We know something about being told that we don't belong. And we're living in a day now where there are those who would love to turn back the hands of time and relegate us to a period in our nature's history where we were made to feel like we don't belong. Can you imagine the agony of watching life go on without you? Of seeing people cross to the other side of the street just to avoid you? These men lived in isolation. They lived in shame. They lived in hopelessness. But here's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't avoid the border. He doesn't shy away from the marginalized. He goes to the places that others don't want to go. As a matter of fact, he meets people in their brokenness, and on this day, he meets 10 men who are desperate for mercy. That's why I like to tell folk the church is for everybody. You know, there's some church folk and some evangelicals who would like to say that because you have this sin or because of this or because you dress this way or because your hair is like this, you don't belong in the church. But I have come by to remind us that we serve a God, we serve a Savior who is not afraid to minister to the marginalized. I know I've got some witnesses today. Sometimes, y'all, life puts us at the border. Sometimes we find ourselves in places of transition, in places of tension, in places where we feel cut off and alone. But I want you to know that Jesus specializes in meeting us at the border. He specializes in showing up in the places where others aren't willing to go. He specializes in bringing hope to the hopeless, healing to the hurting, and restoration to the rejected. Is there anybody who's glad to serve a God like that? Maybe you're at the border this morning, a border of sickness, a border of grief, a border of uncertainty. Maybe you feel like you're on the outside looking in. But I came to tell you, Jesus sees you. As a matter of fact, Jesus knows you. As a matter of fact, Jesus cares for you. And Jesus is willing to meet you right where you are. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad to know that I don't serve a Savior who requires me to get to a certain level before he'll meet me. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad, amen, that I have a Savior who doesn't require me to get rid of all of my issues and all of my sins before he will receive. Is there anybody here who can thank him that he looked beyond your faults and he saw your needs and he was willing to meet you right where you are? Now, as we journey further into this text, and I hope y'all don't mind, I'm going to take my time this morning. Amen. Amen. We see these 10 men standing at a distance. They're not allowed to come close. The law, the stigma, the fear, all of it keeps them at arm's length. But even from afar, the Bible says they lift up their voices and they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Let me pause right here and say sometimes life will put you in a situation where all you can do is cry out. I know some of y'all don't know anything about that. Amen, amen. But sometimes, y'all, the pain can be so deep. The isolation can be so real. The struggle can be so intense that you find yourself calling on the name of Jesus, not with elegance, not with eloquence, not with sophistication, but sometimes your call is out of desperation. And y'all have heard me say before that when situations get desperate, the rules change. Oh, come on, come on. Have you ever had a situation where somebody in your family got sick, amen, and you had to get them to the hospital? Is there anybody here who knows that when the situation gets desperate, the rules change? You don't care nothing about the police. You don't care nothing about the red light or the stop. You don't care nothing about the speed limit, because when the situation is desperate, the rules change. These men didn't have time for fancy prayers. They didn't have the luxury of rehearsed speeches. All they had was a need and a name. Y'all gonna make me shout by myself. I said all they had was a need and a name. Oh my, somebody knows what I'm talking about. Amen. The Bible says they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They recognized who he was. They called him by name. They acknowledged his authority, and they asked him for mercy. There is power in calling on the name of Jesus. I got two or three folk in here who are witnesses of that. There is power in recognizing that he is master. There's power in recognizing that he is Lord, that he's able to do what nobody else can do. When you find yourself at the end of your rope, when you find yourself at the border of despair, don't be afraid to lift your voice and cry out, "Lord, have mercy." I wonder, is there anybody here who knows what it's like to cry out to God? Is there anybody who's ever been in a situation where you couldn't fix it, you couldn't change it, you couldn't control it, and all you knew to do was cry out, "Lord, have mercy"? Maybe you've cried out in the midnight hour. Maybe you've cried out in the hospital room. Maybe you've cried out in the midst of financial struggle. Maybe you've cried out during a furlough. Maybe you've cried out in family conflict or personal failure. But I want you to know that God hears the cries of his people. He's not deaf to your pain. He's not distant from your struggle. When you call on him, he responds. Oh, the old folk, you say, he may not come when you want him. I said he may not come when you want him, but he'll show up right on time, won't he? These 10 men remind us that sometimes the greatest prayer is the simplest one. Lord, have mercy. And notice they didn't just whisper it like I did. The Bible says they called out in a loud voice. Sometimes you've got to get loud with your praise. Sometimes you've got to get bold with your requests. And you know, there are folk who wonder why in the black church. I had somebody say, why is everything so loud? Why is church so loud here compared to First Baptist? Why is church so loud here compared to East Leesville? Because as a people, we've been through some stuff that they don't know anything about. Because as a people, we have had to work for no money. I'm talking about in the cotton field. It's because as a people, we have been spat upon and dogs put on us and fire hoses put upon us. We've been beaten and disrespected. And so we have learned that you better open up your mouth and call on him. Where are my folk who are not ashamed to call upon his name? Now let's lean in close to this moment in the story. The 10 men have cried out for mercy. They have called on the name of Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't touch them. He doesn't lay hands on them. He doesn't even say, be healed. Instead, he gives them, tell your neighbor, he gives them a command. He tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, if you're not careful, you'll miss the miracle in the method. I said, if you're not careful, you'll miss the miracle in the method. Oh my, oh my. When I was studying economics in college, there was something they taught us about economics. They said that whenever you're trying to design an economy, you have to have something called methodological elasticity. Methodological elasticity. And all that big word means is that your methods have to be elastic enough. Think about a rubber band. To fit whatever the situation is. So Pastor Garner has come by to tell you today that when you need a blessing from God, when you need a miracle from God, I know you've already thought about how you want him to fix it and how you want him to work it out. But is there anybody here who has learned by faith that when you rely on God and when you need him to perform a miracle in your life, you better develop some methodological elasticity. You better have enough faith to believe that I don't know how he's going to work it out, but he will work it out. I wish I had somebody here today. Doctor said no, but Jesus said yes. I wish I had somebody here today. Your bank account said no, but Jesus said yes. Your credit rating said no, but God said yes. Give him praise in this place. He tells them to act in faith before they see the evidence. He tells them to move before the blessing is made manifest. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Let me pause right here and preach to somebody. Sometimes God will require you to move before you see the miracle. Sometimes God will ask you to step out in faith before you see the answer. Sometimes God will challenge you to obey before you understand. The blessing is often found in your obedience. The healing is often released in your faithfulness. And I wonder, is there anybody here who knows what it's like to walk by faith and not by sight? Is there anybody who's ever had to trust God when you couldn't trace God? Is there anybody who's ever had to move forward when everything in you wanted to just stand still? Come on, give him praise in this place. These 10 men teach us that faith is not just believing. Faith is acting on what you believe. Faith is stepping out when God says move. Faith is obeying even when it don't make sense. Faith is trusting that God's word is true even when your situation says otherwise. Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they obeyed, the healing came. As they walked, the miracle manifested. Sometimes your breakthrough is waiting on your obedience. Sometimes your blessing is waiting on your willingness to get off your tail and move. Maybe God is calling you to do something that don't make sense. Maybe God is asking you to forgive somebody that hurt you. Maybe God is challenging you, even in a government shutdown, to give when your resources are low. Maybe God is inviting you to serve when you feel tired or disrespected. Maybe God is nudging you to step out in faith, to start that business, to pursue.